Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Holy crap, welcome back my friends to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and guess what? Today we are also going to be talking about self-love with my incredible friend, Shamini. This is a real treat of an episode dealing with, you know, specifically what women deal with growing up, the expectations that are put upon them, that they put upon themselves. This is just awesome. This was a great, great episode. Enjoy. And so this is going to be episode 2.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I love you. Come here.
I love you too.
This is better than proposing to me. This is exactly what I needed.
Exactly. Yes. Oh,
hello.
Yes. So hello,
you?
Podcast world and this jumpy waveform.
What's on the first episode?
Knack was on the first episode.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
Did you surprise him?
I guess day of. I didn't do a half unlock my phone while falling to the ground. But yes.
Perfect. Well, but, hello.
Yeah, so this podcast is talking about self-love.
Yes.
So Shami, give us a little quick intro of who you be.
Cool. Well, my name's Shamini. I'm publicly known as Shaw Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Just a person. A nice one.
Very nice one.
I'm a nice one. I do a lot of things. I do everything from making music to yoga to taking photos and making videos and writing stories and writing poetry.
Oh, whoa, she's a poet. She's a poet.
I know.
It's on the bio on Instagram.
I know. I run. Love running. Mm-hmm. I love being outside underneath trees, in the garden, at the beach, mm-hmm. at music festivals. I love meeting new people and being excited about people.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And just open to new things, please. Yes. I want new things all the time. That's it. Let's go.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but Shami's one of my favorite people in the goddamn universe.
Yes!
So this is really, really fucking exciting. So Shami, first question, when did you learn that you had to love yourself?
Last spring. Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa. That's actually later than I thought.
Yeah. Not that I hadn't loved myself before.
Yeah.
But when I intentionally was like, oh, this is very important to do this
yes.
on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell you more about that.
I absolutely want to hear more about
okay,
that.
Okay, so I was at Resolution, uh-huh. the New Year's rave.
That's where we reunited.
I know.
Wow.
Turning into 2017.
Yes.
And I took Molly.
Uh-huh.
Went into the girls' bathroom, which is my favorite thing to do right after taking Molly, and just be in there and like ground myself and be like,
yeah.
what's about to happen? I don't know, but I'm in this little stall and I'm by myself and everything's good. And I love myself. This is good. What's blah, blah, blah. And I just had this like idea come into my head. Up until that moment, I'd been on my phone for days and in my journal writing down my goals for 2017.
Okay.
Which, you know, lots of normal people goals, like work-related, body-related, mm-hmm. whatever. And sitting there in the bathroom stall, my mind was like, fuck all those goals. They don't matter. The only thing that matters is loving people.
Okay.
And I ran out of the bathroom and I was like, Davey, guess what? All that matters is loving people. And he's like, good. Yes, true. Yeah, good. And so that was my intention for the whole of 2017 was mm-hmm. I'm just going to love people. But within the first week of the new year, I was like, well, that's a great idea, but what does that mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
how do I live this year differently than every other year I've lived?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm, and so then that started the year of figuring out what does it mean to love
mm-hmm.
people?
Mm-hmm.
And the first lesson that I learned that spring like this slowly would unravel over months. You know, like I'd be in a conversation and a light bulb would go on, or someone would say something, or I'd read something in a book, and I just started to piece together these little bits of wisdom. And it was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to love someone else unless I love myself first. Because you have to know how to do it, and you have to know what it feels like, and you have to know what it's like without it. And and people don't want to be around people that don't love themselves. So you can't run in there to love somebody if you don't have that love inside you already. It's like a little honeypot. You have to be full of love, and then you dish it out.
Yeah.
Or it's like a river or a faucet where it comes through you. So you have to experience it, and then it passes on. You don't just be empty and then give what you don't have to somebody else.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And then after that, I spent the rest of the year looking at other stuff. But that first bit, I remember, was self-love.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. What would happen, like, I don't know, maybe in the past when you didn't love yourself?
I'd be mean to myself.
Yeah.
Right all the way back into teenage years. It probably started when I was in junior high, when I started being mean. Because in elementary school, I just was who I was. And if I didn't like somebody or something, I'd just be like, I don't like them. Whatever. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then in junior high is when it started getting more like self-directed. Like, I don't like them, but like maybe they don't like me, or like, why don't I like them? Is there something wrong with me that blah, blah, blah. I started doing ballet. So I was looking in a mirror all day long and not liking how my body looked. Surrounded by girls that were super skinny and starving themselves. And,
yes.
I have really vivid memories of going into the ballet studio and girls standing in the mirror, like going like this on their stomach to like push themselves smaller. And not being that small was like, so I started starving myself and having like a piece of lettuce at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then I would go through fashion magazines and like cut out pictures of really skinny women and idolize that.
Yeah.
And like put it around my bedroom with little notes. Everything from like, you know, be skinny like this, or like have, you know, skinny legs, to straight up mean things like, you are fat, lose weight, or you are like really mean.
Yeah.
And then as I kind of got older, that softened a little bit, because I was like, you shouldn't be that mean to yourself. But those kinds of feelings, or like seeds of those feelings, would be there when I'd look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Or hang around other people. So for me, the not self-love has always been around body, body image, and around not fitting in with other people. And or not belonging, or not being wanted in the group. I remember we'd be like at camp and all the kids are playing, and I would go up to people and be like, am I annoying you? Like, do you want me here? Like, I'd need that validation. They're like, yeah, we're fine. It's actually annoying that you're asking if you're annoying. But like, so there's a lot of that. Let's see. And then it was probably in my last, as I went off to college, I still didn't like my body and stuff, but I started having more confidence and more self-love, thinking I was awesome.
Wow.
But it wasn't until the last couple of years, like, so my late 20s, where I fully was, like, completely learning how to love myself. And then now when there's, like, a negative thing that pops up, it's like, you're not welcome here. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. This is pointless. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
or digging a little deeper and be like, why did you pop up?
Yeah.
Like, let's solve that. So they don't get to hang out anymore.
Yeah.
The first parts of my life, negativity just hung around like normal. And now that's not normal. It's not nice.
Where, so there's this thing that I keep noticing about people not being able to choose good friends, or like having a bad judge of character. Why do you think people have a bad judge of character, and how do you think you get better at having a better judge of character?
Speaking from my gut, you just need to spend time with more people. It'll balance you out, because you realize if you're spending a lot of time with one person and they're not treating you nicely, that's all you're getting. That's nothing to compare it to. But if you're spending time with, you know, dozens of people, and you'll get all sorts of different feedback, and then when somebody says something not nice or not, you know, you're like, wow, you're the bad apple in this group. So, yeah, spend time with more people. And if you're sticking around someone who's not so good, maybe because you don't have enough people around.
Yeah.
Either to balance it or to realize it's not good.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I think that's great. that's I mean, that's kind of what I think Nack and I talked about this too. I mentioned it on there that I was just like, I'm so fortunate that I have such incredible friends that I have so many of them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's because of them. It's one of the core reasons of like why I am who I am is yeah. just being surrounded by great people and seeing the people that just make you not feel good and being like, well, I don't want to be that.
Yeah. Or
just being sensitive to personalities and
yeah.
all that. Wow. Where if how do you practice it still to this day besides when thoughts pop up, you being like, well, you're not welcome here? Like, how did you start realizing that it's like, oh, I need to like say no to these negative thoughts?
Yeah. I'm gonna clarify that question again.
Like, because I think people, they reach a point where they're like, oh, okay, having negative thoughts is bad, but
oh.
I don't know how to stop this bombardment.
Oh, yeah. This is a great trick. I like it. Okay. I press delete.
Okay.
And I rewrite the sentence.
Oh, interesting.
So okay. I'd look in the mirror. It can be anything, just yeah. as long as you feel better about it.
Mm.
So I'd look in the mirror and be like, I don't like how my boobs look or my legs or whatever stupid yeah. thing. And then in the past, you'd ruminate on it and you'd be like, oh, I should be positive. No. You just go, oop, negative thought, delete that.
Yeah.
My boobs look awesome. Or
yeah.
my boobs, I'm so glad I can wear this dress because someone who had different boobs couldn't wear this dress.
Yeah.
Or like you find
oh, nice.
Some way of making whatever it is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have to get really creative. Like you just don't let the negative thing sit there.
Yeah.
Like the body image thing, like I look fat. No, delete. I am so excited that I'm losing weight.
Yeah. Nice.
Like that. Or you can even be more abstract because sometimes you need to like grasp at straws. So you'd be like, I feel fat. Delete. I'm so glad that both of my legs work.
Yeah.
I have not been amputated or, you know, born with a deformity. I'm so grateful. And
That's
then suddenly
awesome.
You're like, that is way more important than me feeling fat. Like,
yeah.
wow.
Yeah.
And then usually that leads in a good direction because you're like, yeah, I'm grateful my legs work. I want to take care of my legs. Like, I should go lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
That'll probably make me feel good, and then I'll love my legs even more. And, like, it starts
yeah.
this snowball.
Yeah, the snowball to positivity and
yeah.
all that.
So that's a body image example.
Yeah.
And it's the same principle, but applying it to something else in life. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like a relationship thing.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about this with some friends recently. Specific example was, okay, you have an argument with your partner,
mm-hmm.
and the negative thing is, like, I fucked that up, I was mean, I didn't say the right thing, like, they're probably really mad at me, delete. Just like, I handled that the best that I could, and I learned this really important lesson, and they're really lucky that I took the time to, like, sit there and talk about this thing that was difficult for me to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and I'm excited to talk to them later. And like with a new fresh perspective or like just something so you're not just sitting there beating yourself
mm-hmm.
up
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to like fuck things up and be like I did not handle that well.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean you suck as a person. It's
yeah.
I didn't handle that well. I'm so excited I learned how to handle something better.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you recognize that like oh there, yeah there could be a better next time and
next time will be better.
It's like you can almost guarantee that like with that mindset everything will always be better
yeah.
the next time.
It's like taking the moment to acknowledge it, like storing it in your brain.
Yeah.
And be like, the next time this happens, I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll rewrite that
mm-hmm.
in my head.
I love the delete idea. I've never,
yeah.
Because I usually will start to feel it. And then usually what I'll do is I'll be like, well, I mean, be kind to yourself. Like, don't let that affect you. But I know it still happened. So I like the idea of truly just like, whoop, erase it because then you're getting better at just erasing it from ever happening again.
Exactly. And you'll catch yourself and you'll be like, shit, I had to delete a lot of things today.
Yeah.
And then taking the time to rewrite it is building a new train track so that the next time you look in the mirror, you'd be like, I don't want to have to delete and rewrite again today. So yeah. Let's make sure the first thing that I say is positive.
Yeah.
And that has over time totally changed. Like now when I look in the mirror, I'll be like, oh my God, you look so great.
Yeah.
You look so cute today.
It's great.
Like, that's the dialogue in my head. Yeah. Like, you look amazing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, there's a weird thing in our society that's like, oh, that's cocky and arrogant. And like, oh, what? To like think you look great?
Ooh, yes. Yes. There's, I still don't have a word for that. I say the word pure confidence. Are those words just pop into my head every time I experience it, see it. I'm just like, that's what it's like. There's a pureness. It's not that you're cocky confident. It's
right?
Pure confidence. So I'm still figuring out that.
I know. I agree. It's pure because it's distributed evenly.
Yeah.
It's cocky in a negative way when it's self-centered. Like if someone's like, you're beautiful, and you're like, I know, but like more beautiful than you, like that's gross.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I know, I'm beautiful, and so are you, like that equal, like you're putting yourself in a positive light and you want other people to be in that same place.
Mm.
And that's just pure and just confident and beautiful. You don't, that's something that was a huge wake up call for me, actually. Wow. Most of my life, when I had all this negative self-talk, not loving myself, I thought all the people out there in the world that were confident or really sexy or really charismatic would be judgmental. And they'd be looking at someone like me and be like, oh, she's overweight, I don't want to be friends with her. Mm-hmm. Or she's not as confident as me, so she's not as cool as me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more attractive and more confident I've become in life,
yeah.
I make friends with fellow confident people.
Yes.
And I realize, holy shit, we are all really awesome and we just want everybody to be awesome.
Yes.
And we look at people that aren't feeling confident and we like want to shake them and be like, yes. Be confident with us.
Yes.
Like, there's not like a, I'm going to be confident, you stay sucky.
Yeah,
like,
there's none of that. I've never felt that way.
Once you feel really good about yourself, you just, it feels so good, you want other people to have it.
You want people in the club.
Yeah. And when you're the one seeing the separation, like, I'm bad, someone else is better, you think that there's a separation there and that they feel it too. But you're the only one probably feeling that.
And like you said earlier about, like, hanging out with friends and be like, oh, am I like being annoying? Then you like, they're like, they're realizing, you have that low confidence or something like that. Like, it's like not a problem until now. Like, because of it.
Yeah, like back then I'd be like, do you want me in your group? Can I play? And they're like, well, not really. Like, you're not fun to be around. But now, like, I'll see people playing and I'll just run up and be like, hey, I want to play. And they're like, well, she seems fun.
Yeah.
She can play.
Exactly.
Right? So, and then when someone rejects you and they're like, no, you can't play with us, then in the past it would have been so hurtful, but now it's like, well, they're not really fun. I don't really want to play with them anyway.
Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
They missed out.
Wow. Last time when I talked to Nack, and this has been like a huge thing for me, is like dealing with specific things that, like, you know, like growing from like into like becoming a man, a lot of that stuff. And you mentioned like what would like body weight or like in body image stuff that's been tough. What other things do you think specifically, like as a woman, that you've dealt with that makes it harder for self-love?
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure which would be just gender and which is just being a woman in this part of the world.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, so I can only really talk about my experience there. I have noticed being in the Seattle area that women are not embracing sexuality. That when I meet women from other parts of the world, they own it so powerfully. Like, you walk into a club in Seattle and it's stinky, like, of women being like, do you think I'm pretty?
Oh,
like,
that's right.
I'm so hot, weird. Right? Like, you, this is a hot dress, like, you like it, please like me, please like me. Or they're bitchy and they're like, I'm so hot, hotter than her.
Yeah,
like,
there's that spiciness,
right? Ew. I'll meet women, and this is probably across the whole world, and it also depends on the kind of woman and all that, but there's a trend that I've met women from other places, and they have this, it's like a tribal female power, where they'd walk into the club, and they'd be like, I'm a woman, and I'm amazing, and every man in here would be lucky.
Yes.
And you, lady, are a queen as well. Let's dance together. Like, and I was on the dance floor like that. I was at Paradiso.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the dance floor with these, like, three ladies, and all of us were just like, you look amazing! Like, let's show the boys how hot we are as women.
Yes.
And it was this, like, I have this dream of a dance floor dividing in two with men on one side and women on the other, and there's a dance off.
Ooh, cool.
And it's not like a please like me dance off.
No.
Or like this is sexy in music videos dance off, but a genuine like from your gut sexuality of like this is how the women dance.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, this is how the men dance. And it's like there's kind of a back and forth of equal power,
totally.
Right? And at the end of the day, though, it's like the women are more powerful in it because they're like, ta-da, we're amazing peacocks. And,
yes.
and the guys are like, I just, it's so pretty. It's so pretty, I want it. And we're all like, yeah, crumble. Okay. But we love you. You're strong men, but not around us.
Yes. Love it.
So that's a really big thing that I've experienced going through with the self-love is learning how to step literally onto a dance floor and not dance in a way that's trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's more... if it's attention grabbing, it's like a performance.
Yeah.
Like, watch this shit.
Yeah.
Versus, like, watch me, please.
Watch me, please.
It's like wimpy.
Yeah. Like, you slightly, like, pull up the skirt
like,
just a little bit.
Is that sexy? It's like, there's not a question in it.
Yeah.
So it's, this would apply for anyone, but it's when you do something, it's not a question. It's like you're leading it. So if you do a dance move, it's not, I hope they find this is sexy. It's, this is the dance move I'm doing. Y'all should do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it looks weird.
Yeah.
So that's, I use dancing, I guess, as a way to explain this because it's a big part of my life and a place where it's like my science lab where I work with this stuff. Because when I'm not feeling self-love, I'll be on the dance floor and feeling not so good about myself and be like, is my dance move sexy? Like, do I feel good? Do I look? It's all that shitty talk starts to come in.
Yeah.
And it's just such a polar opposite when I'm feeling full of love.
Yeah.
And another thing about women, and I think it's different. I'd be curious to hear what it's like for a guy in a dance club, because it could be the exact same thing. So it's not necessarily gender, but I do notice it there because a club is so much about the sexual energy.
It is.
That it makes me think of the gender.
Mm-hmm.
But another one that popped up recently, it really surprised me, actually. It was this last weekend, 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
We're out on the boat in the lake. And I have grown up with this idea of let the men do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're the women. We'll sit over here.
Oh,
the men will fix the
engine.
Yeah,
that happens, like camping and stuff.
Yeah,
the men
will put up the tent, and the men will fix the engine on the boat. We'll just sit here and, like, wait and, like, hold a rope if they need us to. But I've decided to rebel against that just for practical reasons. It's
it is a very practical thing.
I would like to learn how to run the boat.
Yeah.
And like, we went out on a boat, just me and Davey, and so I needed to know how to do it because there wasn't another guy to help him.
Yeah.
And so it kind of made me feel like I don't know how to do this, and so I started to just pay attention and to learn and ask questions. Everything just felt normal, like, oh, I'm learning how to row a boat, until this 4th of July when all of this negative stuff from the past came up about, like, you're a woman, they don't want you to help. You're a woman, you are just getting in their way.
Oh.
You're a woman, you'll never be able to do it or figure it out like they can, so they just need to boss you around.
Oh.
Like, you're a woman, you're just kind of, like, we brought you along because, you know, women and men hang out together, but really, every you do is, like, annoying. It's annoying. When you're, like, let the men do it, okay?
Wow.
And, like, all that came up.
Yeah.
And I was just... had that moment of like pain and then anger and was like, whoo, okay, like that was some messaging that I picked up along the way that doesn't. And I luckily had a conversation with the guys that are in my family, and they're like, it seems like you've gotten in trouble a lot in your life, like afraid to mess up or something. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I don't mind. They're like, we're not gonna get mad at you if you like try and help the boat. So
that's awesome.
That's a gender thing.
Wow, that's that sucks. I only witnessed that a few times, like, in the past, I guess. Like, I'm trying to think, like, at Paradiso, I think I saw that a few times. And I was
with
just
tents?
Like, this is still a thing. Yeah, seriously, like, with tents and stuff. And I was just like, weird. But the stereotype continues then, I guess. Like, I don't know. But, like, there's no one's saying anything. Like, no one's... That's interesting. Okay, we're gonna go to part two because we have to head to our next surprise.
Okay, cool.
This is great. This is so good.
Part two. Hello again.
We're back. part two. We just did a Lindy Hop class. Shami's first time doing Lindy Hop. She did great.
It was really great. It was really great. Bouncing, fun. Yeah. I found a partner, too, that was, like, my style.
Oh, nice.
Two of us were just, like, rabbits. Just, like, bumpity-bump. Oh, wrong foot. Let's just hop. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had the same shoes as me.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness. Lindy Hop partner. Meant to be.
Wow. So, what do we talk about in part two?
So, in part two, let's see. So, you finished up talking about how specific, as a woman, like, what you've dealt with on this. Like, if you could talk directly to someone that is having issues with this, what would you say to them?
They're having issues loving themselves?
Yeah.
I'd ask them to start telling me the things that they've done that... Basically, I'd start asking... I'm not sure which question would hit, but I'd start asking questions like, what are nice things you've done for other people? Or what do other people compliment you on? Or what are moments when you felt really happy or really proud? Or like that kind of thing, to try and get them to start talking about themselves from an objective perspective. And then depending on the person, they're going to latch onto something. Because if you say, like, tell me good things about yourself, you might have someone say, I don't know nothing. And you'd be like, okay, well, what do other people like about you? I don't know nothing. So you'd have to just keep going until you found something. So you have to get creative about it. But it's, I think it's not helpful to just tell them. It, they have to see it themselves. So you have to give them questions that make them start to see themselves differently.
I think once they bring those things out, and like can even say it out loud for themselves, and even if you're present, once that's been said out loud or they think that way, then reinforcing those specific things can help. Even though, instead of telling them all of the things that are good, because then they're just going to be like, whoa, you're just saying stuff.
Like, they choose it and then you remind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they can keep building on their kind of library or toolkit.
Totally. Or if you're going to tell them something, if you know them well enough, or, I mean, you could instantly just, whatever experience you've had with them, you could share how they've impacted you.
Yeah.
And not in a, like, you're great, but in a, like, you smiled at me when you walked up. Like, that, it was nice. Someone smiled at me. Like, even that simple, just to show that they, as a human, are impacting another human. I think that's really important. It's like when someone says, this made me think of you. You're like, someone was thinking of me.
Yeah.
It's that same, like, they need to realize that there's positivity in the world because of them.
Yeah. With that in mind, who, like, has there been someone in your life that you've had to help them with this because they were close to you and you were like, I'm just like, I'm not gonna just ditch this person. I'm gonna fucking, I can see them getting better kind of a thing.
Yeah. Totally. It happens all the time. So there's different intensities, right? Like someone that's deeply not loving themselves at all for a long time, depression or something, that's different than someone who's, you know, maybe generally doing well, but they have a moment of not doing well. So all the that's time I have friends that are not loving themselves in the moment and I help them come around. I don't have as much experience with someone who's been a long-term problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jeremy will speak more on
that. What have been the, so in those moments of, fixing of the short term things, what have been like some just solid, I guess tools or actions that you've done that you're just like, this just seems to generally help every time.
Yeah. Okay. Really powerful phrases are saying me too. Not lying about it, but like if there's anything you can relate to, like making them realize that they're not alone. Like yeah, me too, last week. Like so that's a really good starting spot, and not launching into your own story, but just the, like literally the I know, me too.
Yeah.
and not putting it down. Like, I know, all the time, but like a genuine, like, ugh, me too.
Yeah.
From there, getting kind of surprising the person, actually, with they're expecting you to say the things everyone says, like, no, you're awesome. Like, no, you got this. But surprising them and being like, well, tell me why you suck so bad. Like, or like, yeah, you do suck really hard. And then they usually laugh. And then you're like, see, we're laughing about it.
Oh, nice. I've like, never thought of like, the like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're the worst.
Oh. Like, you are the worst person. I can't stand being around you. I wish I wasn't sitting here right now. And they're like, really? And they're like, no. No, obviously not. Like, and then
they're like, gotcha.
Right? And then see? You can, if you're, like, for me, I'm really, I'll use myself as a way to reflect that and be like, it's like, I have important things to do in life and I only spend time with people that I really care about.
Yeah.
So if I didn't think you were worth my time, I wouldn't be sitting here. End of story.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so I was like, hopefully that means something to you.
Yeah. Nice. That's pretty good.
And then one other thing, if you know someone better and you know enough about their story and their values is to like, don't speak very much. Just give them back their own words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a friend who's really passionate about her freedom. And recently she was beating up on herself because she was like, I just don't think that I'm like, blah, 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 self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to refer back and be like, what is like the most important thing to you? And she's like, my freedom. And then I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, you're right. And she like started to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So, because everyone has different values. So you don't want to just always try and get everyone to your values. It's like meet them on their, what makes them feel happy. Like remind them of that. It's no good for me to be like, look at the sunshine when a person's a night owl and they don't like the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to be like, don't you just, you know, the moon. You like the moon, right? And they'll be like, yeah, I do.
It's the best.
It's the best. Like get them to focus on what they like.
Yeah.
And we're talking about self-love, so it's not just like cheering their mood up, but I find that usually the self-love goes away with a bad mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, I don't like anything in life, nothing's good, I don't feel good. So if you can get them to think about something positively, like, I do love the moon, then you're like, okay, now we're like moving in the positive direction.
Yes.
We can make some progress on the self-love down the road.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's great. It's figuring out those little things that turn it around. Because totally things turn it around for me all the time. I'm like starting to like, wait a minute. And then even just a simple like, oh, I haven't heard this song in a long time.
Yeah.
And then I put it on, it's just like, oh, right, yeah, okay, cool. But then, you know, there can be a different range of those, but yeah.
Of all the things I mentioned, I think the most powerful is the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like teasing people.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell a dirty joke or something in the middle of their sob story.
Yeah.
In an appropriate moment. Not like they're literally sad. But you know, they kind of take a breath and they're like, I'm sorry, I'm really crying. It's hard. I'm like, you're so ugly when you cry. Like, blah, blah. And then, like, throw in. And then, you know, so you just bring them back to, like, you're a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
We're laughing. Everyone goes through this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're always serious and they're like, I do have something wrong with me. Oh my God, there's no humor here.
Yeah. And man, we were talking about humor just today.
Yeah.
And just, and how people in potentially their careers, it's like they take themselves like way too seriously, and it's like, of course you could take what you do seriously, but like you're gonna be spending a lot of time during your day doing that thing, spending a lot of time with different people. Why make it so very, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or guys, we're all you know, we're on here for a short time, so make sure you have a good time.
Yeah. The humor thing is so important, and I think there's also resistance to it. A lot of people resist it, myself included. When I was with my first husband, everything was always very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had a new husband and we were dating, and I like came to talk about a problem and he told a joke. He's the one that taught me how to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember being like, how dare you tell a joke right now? I'm upset. And then I was like, this is serious. And he's like, why? Like, why does it have to be serious? Like, why can't you handle a problem in a lighthearted way?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck you. Oh. And then, like, a week later, I'm like, that's genius.
Like, yes. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Good old humor. Good old humor.
It's a gift.
It is. And you gotta nurture it. Nurture that little gift.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out when your life makes you laugh and...
Comedy. Listen to the comedy. I forget that. That's like a good thing to listen to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time
mm-hmm.
I put it on, I'm like, how have I not done this in so long?
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
This should be at the top of my playlist.
Exactly.
Start the day with a comedy show.
See? See, we have an audience here. we're not just two in Seattle here. There's a lot of people around
laughing.
Us, all right? They're all laughing. Gosh, I think I watched like a stand-up special for the first time in a long time this last week or something like that. And it's just like, oh my God, yeah.
So good.
Yes, this is great. I don't know. Wow. Are there any things about self-love that you don't think that we've covered?
Billion.
Probably, there is a billion things. And there can always be another episode.
What's something from your self-love thing, and then I can respond to it.
Okay. Is there a from one of the areas that you don't think we covered yet?
Maybe something self-love you've struggled with.
Oh, something that I struggled with. Okay. Yes. Okay. While, part of self-love, there was at a time, kind of a jealousy thing with people that make more money than me. When I went to school at DigiPen, there were the 3 degrees, and we just kind of talked about this too earlier at the Cat Cafe. There's 3 degrees. There's the art degree, game design degree, and the programming degree. And I was in the game design degree, and I just had a lot of programmer friends in the programming degree. And I just, once I started seeing people graduate, I started seeing more people in the programming degree. Get like the super dope job at Microsoft, making, you know, 6 figures and stuff. And I was in, like, game designer generally make less, and like I like my first job out of college was at a startup, and so you like can't get paid as much. And so I remember feeling just like a lot of, even actively knowing like being like, Seth, you can't like let this be a thing, because like, not, I mean, think of other people in your life. Not everyone is a programmer, makes this much money. Like, there's people that are doing internships out of college that are just, they're doing it for free potentially. I think being aware of like where you are in your path to even your own financial stuff, like not letting that be like who you are, because you can compare literally everything to someone else. And numbers are really easy.
Right?
Numbers are one of the easiest things you can compare, like stats. It's like people that are different heights. Like, it's just like, oh, baseline. Someone's an inch taller than me, like as a guy or whatever. Like that, or both, I guess, you know. Just feel like, yeah, just knowing that they're an inch taller than me. Damn it. Or like weight's another thing. I mean, it goes back to the body image too. It's just when there's numbers attached to where you think legitimately like this number is better than this number, instead of looking at it holistically, then there's problems. Once I started thinking like, well, I mean, think of every other aspect in your life. It's like other aspects are incredible. So like, what are you, like, you can't just, and with your own career path, then, you know, it's like, you can make money down the line and slowly, yeah. And since then, I've slowly made more money in general, so that's cool too. There might be a point in my life where I make less for career transitions, and I'll be more well-equipped to experience that.
Totally. Now, you made me think of two things.
Yeah.
So one is... reframing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the reframe.
So my friends have done this for me a lot, where I'll say, like, I'm so emotional, like, what an emotional mess or whatever. And they'll be like, or isn't it amazing that you feel so deeply? Nice. You have so much compassion. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hell yeah, I do. And then it's like, it took this thing that for whatever reason you were seeing negatively.
Yeah.
Why not see it positively? Same exact thing.
Yeah.
So it's like what you're saying about, I don't make as much money. You're like, it could be so many things. Like, yeah, but yeah. I have more freedom. Or mm-hmm. yes, but I have this or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not even a yes, but it's a yes and. Yes, mm-hmm. and is more powerful. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, I make less money, and I...
Nice. Wow. But straight up improv 101 right here into your self-love life.
So much better.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, and then the thing that I haven't mentioned that's super important is that you're a human animal. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to delve into like self-love of the mind and the spirit and the heart and the personality and emotions, you can't overlook the body because mm-hmm. all of that comes from the body. And mm-hmm. no matter how amazing your emotions and your brain are, if your body is starting to wither away and feel unhealthy, you're not going to feel great.
Yeah.
And so whether that's overweight or an illness or just neglect or abuse from whatever, you're just not treating yourself or even mm-hmm. not taking the time to care.
Yeah.
Like, I notice a very big difference how I feel when I take the time to like get out of a shower and moisturize my whole body.
Ooh, nice.
I learned that from a photographer who I mentored with, and she photographed women in a very like sexual way, and she was saying, when was the last time you were in the bathroom? And it wasn't about like cleaning and moving on, but about like massaging yourself the mm-hmm. way you would someone you love. Mm-hmm. Not just like, here's some moisturizer, but like, I love you. Like, enjoy mm-hmm. how this feels. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And so years ago, I started doing this. Mm-hmm. I neglect this practice a lot, but it's so powerful that when yeah. I gotta tell people about it. Mm-hmm. Like, get in the bathroom, be naked after your shower, and like start at your toes. And as you rub in the moisturizer, like, I love my toes. I'm mm-hmm. so grateful for my toes. Mm-hmm. If you need to, take more time and be like, each of them or like whatever they do for you, like they help me balance, or mm-hmm. it can just be simple, like I love my leg. But you, yeah. by the time you get to your head, you've just given your physical body attention.
Yeah.
And physical touch and love, and it shows you subconsciously that you're worth the time. Mm-hmm. That's a common problem, I think, for a lot of people, like people that are taking care of kids, they don't have enough time for themselves. It's a common theme, but it's take care of your physical body, like be healthy, and also do a little bit of that luxury. Mm-hmm. Not just for pampering, mm-hmm. but for actual like love.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to do that for other people. Yeah. Like, I'm going to make a bubble bath for you and bring you some tea and then I'll give you a massage. But mm-hmm. like, do that for yourself. It's mm-hmm. really hard, but again, if you're not willing to do that for yourself, then
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. And sometimes people think that, like, even going to get a massage, they feel like they're, like, throwing away money. But it's like, you're not. You're, like, actually, that's, like, another form of self-love, basically.
Physically taking care of your body, because it's good to have a massage. Mm-hmm. And then also the de-stressing. Mm-hmm. Also the gift, like mm-hmm. even if it is throwing away money, mm-hmm. like you're worth spending time or money on yourself. Mm-hmm. Probably the last thing I'd add is the weight too. Like, everyone's gaining weight and becoming obese, mm-hmm. and it's becoming like a standard and okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I really don't think it is. Mm-hmm. And you see repercussions of people aren't feeling as confident, mm-hmm. and then everyone's trying to battle it and be like, embrace who you are, love who you are. And mm-hmm. I kind of want to say, fuck that, go lose weight.
Yeah.
Love who you are.
Yeah.
Love your body. Be healthy. And then when you look in the mirror, you're going to be like, I look amazing.
Yeah.
Not because I look like a magazine, but because you're the best, healthiest version of yourself.
Exactly.
Which is not, and I don't mean healthy in the like curvy. I mean like you're actually fit. You could run away from a bear. Like,
yes.
You could survive. That's going to make you feel confident. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be stuck out in the wilderness feeling like mm-hmm. you're going to die because you can't outrun something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or this happened to me the other night. My husband climbed down a tree and I couldn't. And I was like, well, if we were in danger, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So that was a moment where I lost some confidence.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel as capable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I need to start climbing trees more.
Yeah.
And then that feeds into self-love, because then you're just able to run through the world and be like, hey, let's go down that tree. Woo!
Exactly.
I can take care of myself.
Yeah. That reminds me of, I think running was one of the, I mean, I did like sports and stuff all my life, just different types, you know, racquetball in high school, all throughout high school. But it wasn't until the final year of high school that I was like, I'm going to try something completely out of my realm of physical activity. And I started running. I did cross country. And then ever since then, I've like loved it. And it's just, it was like incredible. And I like, you know, I ran a marathon, and like, it's just knowing that it's like, oh, you could just keep going. Like, that's yeah. like one of the most like primal classic things is just like being able to move for a very long time. And that right. gave me a lot of like self-confidence right? and stuff.
Like, we're still just animals. If your body is literally not able to survive because you're shoving sugar in your mouth and never moving,
yeah,
it's gonna be really hard to love yourself, because your body's like, fuck you, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's wanting to eat sugar and not move because it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. But it's not as comfortable. Yeah. It's like there's an obstacle. Like, you have to build discipline. You have to not eat the cake. Mm-hmm. And that sucks for a little while because you're getting a new habit. But once you have gotten over that, then you're like, I don't know anyone that's gotten fit and healthy and lost weight and like is in their prime condition, and they're like, oh, shit, I wish I was still fat. Like, nobody.
I want to go back.
Right? Definitely. And all of back. Them are like, it was really hard. And I think there's an excuse of like, but I love myself, so I'm going to treat myself to cake. And it's one of the biggest things that helped me when I lost weight and got fit was changing what I saw. And so I'd see the cake and I'd say, that is poison.
Yeah.
And it's not helpful for my
yeah.
body.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill me instantly like some poisons might, but it will kill me over time through whatever. And I made it extreme so that my brain would like pick up on it.
Yeah.
It's like, that will
Hold
kill you.
True.
There's cancer in there. That is poison. And I was like,
that's amazing.
And I'd imagine like, what if you took a bite of that cake and it was poisonous? I'd be like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So escalating it gave me this condition where I started to see what I wanted, and then I'd notice if there was any flicker in my mind of something not being good for me, like I wouldn't do it. And that would apply to food or the people you hang out with or like anything. And when you ignore it, then you're starting to not self-love, because you're like, you knew that wasn't good for you and you did it anyway.
I did it anyways.
So why
food stuff, like not eating total crap, has like for some reason been really just, I don't know, easy for me. But I think I've told you this before, of just like, I just think of food as more of this utility thing. And I don't know why more people don't see it as that. But yeah, that's, I feel bad for the people that are just like, I fucking love food, and then it's like, and don't eat that croissant.
But it totally has changed, and this is just not enough talk about this. It's driving me crazy. I love food, and my friends and family we all eat very healthily, and we all also have, like, I make my husband chocolate cake almost every single night. But I make it, it's the best cake you've ever had, and probably and I make it a little healthier by using like honeys and stuff. So there's like ways to get around that. And everyone's like, it's not as good. It can be.
Okay.
First of all.
Yes.
But also, he has built self-control.
Yeah.
So he'll have some cake and be done.
Yeah.
And then he's working out the next day, and there's like all of this whole healthy lifestyle. It wouldn't be the same of like, his relationship to the cake is the thing.
Yeah.
He's having cake because he enjoys the cake.
Right.
Not because he can't not have it.
Yeah, and now this is a little, like, secret, like, ooh, don't tell anyone, I just had a little bit.
Yeah, like, don't make it weird like that. Like, if he were like, would you make me a cake? But like, oh, I shouldn't eat cake. I'd be like, no, I'm not gonna fucking eat cake.
Figure it out first, okay? Figure this cake out.
But he's like, I just had this amazing meal, I would love a cake.
Yeah.
And then if I'm like, you're not gonna get any, he'd be like, okay. Like, fine.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
So the cake is genuinely something you're enjoying in a healthy way. Because it's the mind. That's the problem, is that when you're overeating like this, and there's something lacking in the brain, which is linked to self-love. Of, like, what's wrong? Like, why is that cake such a big deal?
Yeah.
Like, what is that feeding you?
Because exactly.
It's trying to make you feel better. It's trying to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Whereas he feels good. He just wants some cake.
Yeah.
So I have intentionally done that. If I'm feeling sad, I do not eat food.
Interesting.
Like, I'll eat something, broccoli or something. Yes. Yes. Whereas people are like, I'm sad, I'm just going to have a cookie today. And I was like, that's how it starts.
Yeah, that's its own snowball.
It. Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't use it as medicine. If you feel sad, you need to go work out.
Totally.
That is the solution.
Oh, definitely.
Walk,
that
run.
Just that always will works. Fix
it. You leave and you're like, I'm a wreck. And you come back and I was like, what was wrong?
Yeah,
what was wrong? I feel better now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Have you known anyone that's gone through like eating disorder stuff?
I have.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ballerina thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So all through junior high and high school, I would hardly eat during the day at all. And then either I would just keep fasting or I would binge at night. Tried bulimia, but I cared too much about my teeth.
Whoa.
I didn't want the acid in my stomach to rot my teeth.
So yeah.
I just decided to do the starvation thing instead.
Yeah.
But because I would binge, I never got anorexic, like skinny. I would just stay kind of chubby.
Okay.
With not getting nutrients, because I'd be binging on unhealthy things and then starving during the day, because you'd lose control at night because you're so hungry.
Oh yeah.
And then, because there's so many different types of eating disorders, and it's all about your relationship to the food. So, mine was, food is bad, and eat as little of it as possible. And then really hard on yourself if you've eaten anything or too much. And I'd like keep track of all my calories in a book for years.
Wow.
I had a ceremony one day where I burned it all.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What?
And then that lasted all the way through my 20s where I was eating fine then.
Yeah.
But still, I would have that, like, the grossness in my mind of, like, you need to stop eating the cake. And I was like, but I want more, but you should. Like,
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't until I got fit, I started running, I got really strict about no sugar.
Yeah.
And it happened gradually. So, like, I just, over a few years, made little changes until my diet looked totally different.
Yeah.
My lifestyle looked totally different. And then I, in the last 6 months, started eating a bunch of blueberries. Like, every day I have a cup or two of blueberries.
Yeah.
And that has, it's some type of superfood going on there because I feel great.
Yeah.
But it has given, having the blueberries in my diet magically means I don't crave food.
Interesting.
Like, it's total control. I'm just like, I'm not hungry right now. No, thank you.
Yeah.
When someone's like, here's this birthday cake, I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not in the mood. And there used to be a say no because that's a good idea. Whereas now it's like a genuine desire.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's like me and soda. I'm just like, I would never.
I don't want it either.
Never.
And it comes to the self-love to bring it back around. Because in the past, it'd be like, I know I want the cake, but I shouldn't.
Yeah.
That's not a... Whereas now it's like, I don't want the cake. Because I value feeling healthy better.
Yeah.
I know that if I eat that cake, it'll taste good for a moment. Maybe. I might even put it...
Yes.
Sometimes I spit food out because I'm like, I really don't want that.
Oh, interesting. That's a kind of a cool take on it. Never done that
before. Yeah. I'll if someone like cooks something, I'll try it, chew it for a little while, like to get the flavor, and then just spit it out. Cause like I don't actually want to eat that.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the flavor.
Oh. Like, I'm gonna start trying like, that because there are a lot of people that are like, check out this sweet dessert. And then I'm like, I don't actually want to add that to my body. Yeah. Thank you very much. But it looks delicious.
Right?
So don't feel offended.
People can get a little offended about it because, like, you spit out my food. And I'm like, you did not make that to nourish my body.
Yeah,
you made that
point.
For my tongue.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to my tongue.
Good point.
And then spit it out.
Yeah.
If I just put it in my mouth and swallowed it, then I wouldn't be appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
And it's not bulimia. You're not
right?
Throwing it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. It's not weird.
It's like, wow.
It's
an interesting way of thinking about that.
That's been really helpful too with cravings and things.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's very clear, a healthy mindset of, I love you, I'm feeding you things that nourish you.
Yeah.
But I also love food and the taste of it, and I want to give you the enjoyment. Like, you're a human who wants to live, and it had to have flavor.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. And it's not spitting it out like, oh God, unhealthy. It's like, that was good. That's all I wanted.
Yes. Ow. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're basically removing a lot of the self-judgments there.
Yeah.
Which is... There's the shoulds, the coulds,
On that, if you're dealing with self-love, the word should be removed.
Must
be removed.
Must.
Yeah. If I hear myself think or say should, I delete and re-say the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to how I dealt with negative things.
Yeah.
Like, I should get up early. why, mm-hmm. versus I want to get up early.
Yeah.
Why? Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. If you ask me why should I, then it's like, well, because it makes me up early, it feels good, versus I want to because it makes me feel good. It's like so empowering, mm-hmm. versus a chore.
Totally.
And like, to love yourself, it's like give yourself the life you want, not mm-hmm. the life you should. Mm-hmm. And your life is built up of all these little things. So mm-hmm. it's like, I want to eat blueberries because they make mm-hmm. me feel good. Mm-hmm. I want to go on a run because it makes my stress go away.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hang out with my friends because mm-hmm. it's fun, versus I should be socializing, I should be eating healthy, I should be running. You're like, well, you're not being very nice to yourself.
Exactly. You're actually like legitimately like more close to yourself. You know yourself more when you figure out like, oh, what do I actually want? Out mm-hmm. of this, like, what, instead of just like, because shoulds are a lot of like building off of other people's lives as well, which obviously let their lives inform your life, but don't think that you have to be this perfect thing taken from everyone's specific like maybe like super strength or superpower or whatever.
Totally. And speak up for what you want. Too many people are walking around with like, what do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. What do you want to do? Just like close your eyes for a second and be like, what do I want to do? And then just say, I want. Mm-hmm. And it works so great because it gets very empowering for the self-love thing.
Yeah.
Like everyone's standing around debating versus just you standing up and saying, I want to go to the movies. Then everyone else is going to go, okay. And mm-hmm. then you go to the movies and you're like, I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or people will say, I don't want to go. And then you'll be like, oh, well, maybe we should do different things then. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the movies.
Yeah.
And the more you can identify what you want to do, the more it like builds up a feeling of self and I'm giving myself what I want.
Yeah.
Like if you have a child and you're trying to love that child, like, what do you want to do today? And like, I want to go to the park. And you're like, well, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, oh yeah, let's do that because you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to build this feeling of they're being listened to, they're being taken care of, they're getting what they want. And I know somebody's gonna be like, you can't get whatever you want, but you should still ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly.
Versus like, oh, we'll do whatever. It's like, do you not have something you want?
Yeah, exactly. Then you're just truly, and you're being less of a leader in that case too. Yeah.
And if you don't get what you want, then that's a whole nother, well, how are we gonna handle that gracefully?
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah.
Start by asking what you want because you get most of it.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. And then other people don't have to guess as much. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man. So to sum it up, it's like, delete everything that's not positive and rewrite it.
Mm.
Be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually. And... do what you want.
Do what you want
in life.
Do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? I feel like that's pretty good.
That's the Bible right there.
That's it.
That's the self-love Bible. I wrote like chapter 2.
We found it. Published by Pearson Books.
Yes. This was recorded on the steps of an abandoned house in Seattle. Trespassing fully.
Fully, yeah, we actually are trespassing right now.
I've trespassed so much recently.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do. And I have a fun time pausing for a second, being like, well, why am I not trespassing? Why do I belong here?
Mm-hmm.
Just for funsies.
Mm-hmm.
I trespassed behind the movie theater the other day.
Okay.
And I was like, I bought a ticket to the movie. I pretty much just funded this building.
Yes,
so
you did.
Now I can be back here.
A whole month is funded on that purchase, pretty much.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to argue with anyone. I mean, I'm trespassing according to the rules of society, but I just think it's, like, right now, like, why do we belong on these steps? The house was lonely.
The house was lonely.
Jesus, there's a home.
Yeah, the light was shining. It was basically a stage. It needed some people on the stage.
I know. We're recording, and it's a show. And
yeah.
Like, if we weren't here, this light would be shining on nobody.
Exactly.
And the house would be like, somebody.
And there are audience members. There's people walking by.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that they're not very good at paying attention to us.
Exactly. You see, you say that to a police officer and they're like, that's not a good enough reason. And you're like, well, it's a reason.
It is a reason.
You just don't like it.
Exactly. You just seem to not like my reasons, officer.
It has nothing to do with the fact there are reasons.
100% legitimate. Wow. Well, Tommy, this has been magical.
This is my pleasure.
And
this is a surprise, by the way. Do you surprise? You don't surprise everyone.
No, not at all. This was just,
he just led me to a park and like got down almost on one knee and then fell on the floor and I was like, what are we doing? Podcast time.
Podcast.
Could not have been better.
Yeah. So it was pretty great. Though I hope to surprise more people.
Do it. It's kind of exciting.
Because I don't know. This is, look out podcast. This is insider info. It's like, I'm not just going to do this to everyone.
There's those of us that are like Jesus, right?
Yeah, you gotta look out. there's a specific unknown level that I feel like is past. And then, things start to, the snowball.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for the people that are in full snowball.
It's like level 17 of life game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, which is great. Mm-hmm. Which is exciting. Until next time, friends.
Farewell.
Love Ant.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. I fucking love that woman. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. Go to loveamp.com if you want any more info. Just kind of the base, bare bones stuff going on with self-love. I'll be probably adding more resources to it over time. More testimonials of people that I've helped in this area. Thanks for listening, and look forward to more episodes with more amazing stories from my friends. See you later. Bye.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.